some obvious, maybe some not so obvious. So the first question I want to ask you is, what holiday are we looking at tomorrow? Christmas. So that was an easy one. All right. What comes to mind when I say the word Christmas? Just say it out loud. Go ahead. Perseus?
Gifts.
Gifts. Okay, what else? Family? Food?
Christmas ham.
Ham? I have one over here. Do you hear one over here?
I heard no school.
No school? Any others? You seniors, that's my reminiscent when we did our study on the holiday of Easter.
Reindeers.
We started with the same question. What's that?
Reindeer?
All right. What is Christmas? It's a holiday? Is that what you said? What is Christmas?
They call it the season of perpetual hope.
So it's a season, it's a holiday season, we're hopeful. Okay, all right, there's some questions and you had some answers. The season, the Christmas holiday, is supposed to be about the birth of Christ. And I didn't hear that from anybody. And I think that shows you how the holiday is promoted and explained and thought about, and yet Christmas is supposed to be about the birth of Christ. Matthew 1:21 tells us, thou shalt call his name Jesus. What I would like to do tonight is promote you to think about some things tomorrow that maybe slip our mind. And I'm sure that every one of you have different family traditions, and that's fine. What you do with your family, how you get together and observe the holiday, that is fine. But what I would like to do is promote you to think about some things that maybe you haven't thought about before, or maybe they've slipped your mind. So, if this holiday is to celebrate the birth of Christ, why was he born? Why did Jesus come? We're going to make a big to-do about his birthday, the day of his birth, so said. Why did he come? Why are we celebrating it? Why is it such a big deal? Does anybody in here have a birthday that is a federal holiday?
No.
So it's a big, yours is?
Which one?
Veterans Day. Okay, so Brother Ben has a very important birthday. Why did he come? If we are going to celebrate that, let's look at our next slide. Matthew 1:21 tells us why he came. He shall save his people from their sins. Right there is the answer why he came. There was a purpose. Salvation from sin. That means we are out of sin. We're no longer sinning. We have the ability to live free from sin. This is why he came. He's a savior. All right. There was a message given to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. In essence, it's saying, praise be to God in the heaven. Can you imagine being out in the field watching your sheep and it's night, and all of a sudden this message comes from angels, the angelic beings, that very few appearances of those have happened in Bible times. This is something that's been looked forward to from the very beginning of time, back in the Garden of Eden. This was promised. This is an exciting moment because of God's great love for mankind. We've talked about this in the halls of eternity past. That means before time began, there was God. During time, there is God, and when time is over, there's still going to be God. And in eternity past, God said, I want to have a relationship with people. I want someone who can reciprocate that love. Not the angels, not animals. I want to have a relationship with someone who wants to have a relationship with me. We've talked about this a lot, but it's good to be reminded. And God said, you know, I know that they're not going to be able to have this relationship with me without a savior, because they're not going to be able to live free from sin, and I can't have sin in my presence. I cannot have sin in this relationship. So I'm going to send a Savior. So this is a big plan that God has had. And Jesus said, I will go and I will be the I will implement that plan. I will put it into action. And we talked about, I think, in our Bible study, and the Holy Spirit said, I'll be the administrator. I'll go live in their hearts and enable them to continue this relationship. This is a big deal. God's been planning this for, what, 4,000 years or longer? This is a big deal. Glory to God in the highest. That's what the angels said. The angels no doubt heard God. Maybe they heard God and Jesus talking about this. But to truly rejoice, so glory to God, that's celebration. That's rejoicing. That's exciting. But can we really, truly rejoice and celebrate and be excited about the birth of Christ if we don't understand why he came? So I think it's a good thing to be reminded or taught. Why did Jesus come? Christmas is a very, very hyped holiday. I mean, from the time that Halloween is over, if not before, they're asking you, are you ready? Are you getting ready? Maybe we should come up with a really good answer. Yes, I got saved. I'm ready. Are you ready? But why? What is the purpose that Jesus came? To understand why he came, we've got to accept it. We've got to understand it. And when we understand it, we're going to accept that. There's a common phrase, do you celebrate Christmas? If you've been asked that, raise your hand. You've been asked that? Do you celebrate Christmas? Are you celebrating Christmas? How do you celebrate Christmas? So we recently had a very nice supper with some friends. And funny, I mean, it was almost like within 2 or 3 minutes of sitting down, that was the question that was asked of us. And I'm not really sure where that came from. I've been praying about it. I don't know. I just had a feeling that might come up, and I've been praying about it. And I remember thinking, how are we going to answer that? Because if I am a Christian and I say, no, I don't celebrate Christmas, they're going to be like, whoa, these people are, you know. So I was kind of meditating on what does it mean to celebrate? Well, the word celebrate means observe with respect. Make something widely known publicly. Abide by it. Honor it. Could I say that I observe with respect the fact that Christ came? He was born as a baby, and the reason why he came. Can I say that this is something in my life I am endeavoring to make widely known? I am a Christian. I believe this. I believe why he came. So in regards, in that light of that word, in that definition, I can say, yes, I do celebrate the birth of Christ. I do celebrate it. It is the reason why I do what I do. But I wonder, how can people celebrate Christmas and not celebrate Christ? And not celebrate the reason why he came? I think it's interesting, the amount of celebrating that happens by people who don't want much to do with Christ the rest of the time. I've heard it said, people are more than happy to leave him in the manger. Why? Well, he's not Lord. He doesn't seem to be Lord in the manger. But when he became a man and he began to teach some things that were hard sayings and people didn't know what to do with them and they were very difficult, then to accept that lordship becomes a little harder. All right, so let's talk a minute about prophecies. Fulfillment of prophecies. See, Matthew goes on and he says, all this, speaking about Jesus being born to a virgin, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. So there was some prophecies. Now this is speaking about one. Does anybody have any idea, ballpark idea, approximately how many prophecies Jesus coming, being born of a virgin, in all of his life and dying on the cross, approximately how many prophecies were fulfilled? A ballpark guess. More than 300 prophecies. So what is a prophecy, Sister Sherry? Okay, let's break this down. We got a definition up here. It's the foretelling, all right? That means God knew it was going to happen, and he foretold it to his prophets, and they told it to his people. A future event. So God inspired this. He inspired many prophets to foretell what's going to happen. Prophecies of the Messiah. Why is that a big deal? Why is that a big deal? All I want you to think with me for a moment. If you play the lottery, and I highly suggest you don't, because that is not good stewardship. But if you did, your chances of winning, depending on probably which jackpot you participate in, are 1 in 259 million. That's 259 with six zeros, correct? Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah.
All right. The odds of one man fulfilling eight prophecies in the Bible is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's a lot of zeros. That's just eight prophecies. The odds of one man fulfilling 48 prophecies, I didn't even try to put the number of zeros, it's 1 in 10 to the 157th power. How many prophecies did I tell you Christ fulfilled?
Over
300. Let's go back. More than 300. Do you think God thought this was a big deal? God's like, this is huge. I'm going to have more than 300 prophecies. And there's types. You can get into types and examples. David's a type of Christ. I'm going to get the people ready for this. This is huge. God is going to leave heaven. He's going to lay down his God abilities and become a man so that he can tell people about me. The Bible says no man has seen God and lived. But Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen God. You can see God. So he knew that this was what's going to have to happen for us to have this relationship. This is a big deal. No wonder the angel said what? Glory to God in the highest. It's a big deal. Prophecies told us that he was coming. Let's look at a few prophecies just to see what exactly that means. And let's kind of talk about how they were fulfilled. So Isaiah 53 and 9 says, he made his grave with the rich in his death. How did Jesus make his grave with the rich in his death? Does anybody know? Where was he buried? In the tomb of who? I might have heard some. Joseph of Arimathea, who was a rich man. And he let Jesus use his brand new tomb. That fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. They parted my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. What happened to Jesus' garments while he was, his robe while he was on the cross? What did the soldiers do? They gambled, cast lots to see who could get it. All right? They pierced my hands and my feet. What happened to Jesus on the cross? That's exactly what happened to him. Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's exactly what happened. Psalm, I became a stranger unto my brethren. If you study, his brothers thought he was kind of crazy. It was until after the death and crucifixion and resurrection that they became believers. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Read the account of Jesus in the crucifixion. And it says he opened not his mouth. Yea, my own friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Who is that talking about?
Judas.
Literally was eating bread with Jesus. And then he went out and betrayed him. These are just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 examples of the more than 300 prophecies that came true with Jesus's arrival. Which one did Jesus tell us to remember? Which one? The death and resurrection. Did you know that it is believed? Let's talk about customs for a moment. It's believed in the time of the New Testament, they did not celebrate birthdays. That was not a thing amongst the Jews or the Christians. But Jesus, he specifically told us, let's see what he told us here. This do in remembrance of me. So what was he talking about? What is this picture portraying? What event is this probably possibly portraying? Not the Bible, obviously. So the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, Jesus is eating it with his disciples, and he brings out the bread, and he brings out the cup of wine, maybe a grape juice. And he said, this is my body. This is representing my body, which is given for you. Talking about how his body is going to die on the cross to achieve God's goal. This is my blood, which is shed for you. This, he's talking about the Lord's Supper, So we do. We will have the Lord's Supper at times. We get together and we have feet washing, and our pastor explains these things to us. We're doing this in a direct obedience to Jesus' commandment, this do in remembrance of me. Why do you think he wanted a stronger emphasis on this event than his birth? I mean, he can't do this if he wasn't born, correct? Yes. But he could have been born and not done this. This is the part that's vital. This was the part that was hard. What did he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he say? Three times. Lord, take this cup from me. But not my will, but thine be done. And that's the part that is so important that we not lose sight of. Honestly, babies are precious. We've got lots of them in our family right now. Babies are wonderful. We love them. But I don't look at a baby and think about commitment and a life change like I do when I look at Christ on the cross and his sacrifice. No doubt, Jesus wasn't saying my birth is not important, but he was saying, I want you to focus on what I did on the cross. I want you to focus on the reason that that had to happen to me. Because God wants a relationship with you. When our grandbabies are newborn, they don't know who I am from the man in the moon. They just look at me, and I've seen them, and they'll smile at me, and then they'll smile at the next person that comes along they've never seen before in their life. Now, as they get older, they learn who Grandma Sherry is, and it's pretty exciting. But there's not much of a relationship with a newborn baby. I had one that cried all the time. She was mine, not my grandbaby. And I remember thinking when she was 3 months old, one day she's looking at me like she has no clue who I am. She's just a very fussy child and didn't seem to be easily satisfied. And I'm like, I am your mother. Why do I have to tell you that? We have a great relationship today. But when she was first born, we didn't. So God is saying, yes, the birth was important, but I want a relationship with you. I want you to get your eyes off of that and get it over here. Get it on the death, burial, and resurrection. Just for the fun of it, let's look at, when was Jesus' birthday? The world has said, nominal Christianity and the world, people that aren't even Christians, have said it's December 25th. Now, we know that there's a great probability that is not correct. Any ideas why? Let's talk about why it probably was not December 25th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
I thought you were saying when it wasn't.
Yes. No, you're fine. Why? Sister Robin, why do you think?
Because, the shepherds wouldn't be out in the winter.
Okay, so you look at culture, even yet today, especially at night, the shepherds would not be out at night. The temperatures were too cold. That is correct. Another reason, the census that was ordered that caused Mary and Joseph to travel would not have been ordered in the winter time. The Caesars definitely sometimes did some crazy things, but he would have known that was not a good time to order travel. However, I want you to think about something. Since the world, and perhaps even nominal Christianity, has said that is his birthday, what if we take that day to think about why he really came? Why did Jesus really come? Tomorrow, no doubt, many of, probably most of you, will be having some kind of traditional gatherings with your family. Maybe you'll have to get together for a meal. Maybe something will be happening. What if during that day, you take a minute and you stop and you give thought to the real reason why Jesus was born? Think about a couple of slides, a couple of pictures I have here on this slide. Luke 2 and 10 tells us, this is good tidings. This is great joy. And I love this, all people. Remember, the Jews thought they were the special, favored people, chosen people, to the exclusion of the rest of the world. They had kind of lost sight of what exactly God wanted. Luke 2 and 11 tells us, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And we hear all this, and we don't necessarily maybe take a second and look at a couple of key phrases or words. What does that mean? This is the exciting news that has been given to us. There's great joy, and there's glad tidings in it. Good tidings. Well, first of all, what is a Savior? This is your gift, God says. I'm giving you, this is a gift. This is awesome. It's a Savior. What does Savior mean? What could you not, people not do before Jesus died on the cross and raised from the dead? What could they not do? They couldn't live free from sin. He came to save his people from their sins. That's a Savior. And if you've ever been living a life of sin, and Paul said, the good that I would, I couldn't. You want to do what's right. You want to be obedient. You want to not get in trouble. You want to have that clean conscience. You can't do it. But we all know we have that ability. I got to get to Jesus, and he'll help me do it. But there was a time that that couldn't happen. Has God spoke to you by in your own mind and in your own heart? Have you heard God speak to you? Do you know how amazing, how blessed you are that God has spoken to you? Because many people in the Old Testament never heard from God. Often we would have to have the priest or God's man, the prophets, tell the people what God said. When I go home tonight and I go to bed and I start talking to God, I'm really glad that I don't have to ask Brother Decker, call Brother Decker and ask him, what's God saying back to me? God speaks to me. That's because a Savior was given. That's exciting news. That's what tomorrow, if we were to say, let's celebrate his birthday, regardless of whether it's the right calendar day or not, that's what we're talking about. However, it's more than that. There's a part we have to do. Christ the Lord. What does it mean when somebody's the Lord? They have the authority to tell us what to do. They're the boss. And Jesus has done, he has earned this. He is the Lord. God made us. He also has that authority. When we allow Jesus to be Lord in our life, that means we're submitting to his will. Who likes to do something? Who wants to do something they don't like to do? Mom tells you, clean your room. Take out the trash. Make sure you do this. Make sure you do that. Nobody likes that. There's that part of us, that will. Like, remember the little kid? He said, I'll sit down, but on the inside, I'm still standing up. Sometimes we feel that way. But when Jesus is Lord, we submit. We say, because Jesus gave us that good example. Not my will, and believe you me, Lord, I've got a lot of will. I got a lot of wants, and I got a lot of desires. But because I'm going to accept this amazing gift, I'm going to allow you to be Lord. I'm going to submit. And then, Brother Decker mentioned this morning, didn't he? Here's something else I want you to think about on this day that is said to be Jesus' birthday. For many, there's no room in the inn. Now, none of us are out here running a Motel 6 keeping Jesus out. Where's the inn we're talking about? It's our heart. Our heart. When we say, you know, that's just too much, Lord, I don't want to do that. He's not Lord of all. When we say, oh, I like my sins. I like my way. I like to do what I want to do. We're not accepting the Savior. And when we do that, there's no room in the inn. So why have I brought this lesson? I've been meditating on the holiday of tomorrow. And if we're going to celebrate, if we're truly going to celebrate Christmas, what does that mean? Here's the thought that came to me so strongly. Wise men, wise young ladies, wise youth group still seek him. Let's be reminded by why Jesus came. If you do gifts in your family, if you do a meal, if you decorate, that's fine. Don't be distracted by that. Don't let that consume you to the place where you forget why Jesus came. Ask yourself, am I celebrating Christ's birth? Let's review. Celebrate. Observe with respect. Make something widely known publicly in your life, in the way you talk, in the way you interact with people. Are you making the birth of Christ, why he came, widely known? Can people look at you and say, they've spent time with Jesus? They're a Christian. Wise men, wise women, wise young people still seek Christ. And I'll turn it back over to Brother Steve.
Thank you.